Christmas with joy and anticipation and intrepidation. In this season of Advent, if you have a Bible, we'll just try and pick up as we begin December, and just to realize what this season is all about. I'm going to read from Matthew. Matthew gives the account from Joseph's point of view. Imagine it's, I don't know, 6 months before the birth of Jesus, but we'll begin and read in verse 18 of chapter 1 of Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Well, that is the word of God. Well, I wonder how many you ladies think back many years ago when you were young. Did you ever want to play the part of Mary in the Nativity? Did you ever get the chance? One or two? How many wanted to play the part? Well, what about Joseph? Who wanted to play the part? Who are you men? You men, think back many centuries ago, I mean many years ago, when you were children. When you were children, you know, did you want to play the part of Joseph? Perhaps you were a wise man. No, not a wise, I mean, never mind. Perhaps you were a shepherd. A shepherd. No, a donkey. Well, yes, a donkey. Or even the star. Even the star. That would be a good part. But I'm not sure many would want, really, to play the part of Joseph. But he is the best, he should get the prize for the best sporting actor. Let's just look at the story. You know it well, but it's incredibly poignant. Mary, Jesus' mother, is married to a man called Joseph. Pledged. But actually, it's a legal thing. It's agreed between the family. By the way, Mary is only, I don't know, mid-teens. Joseph wouldn't be very old. He died quite young, but he wasn't an old man. Perhaps early 20s at the most. These are young people. And this was an agreement. The families would be agreed. It would last about a year with the betrothal. You notice the betrothed, but he's now called her husband. He's called now her husband. There's no sex, no sexual union, obviously. And anyway, he's one day, she's with her cousin, Elizabeth, and I don't know how he finds out. I don't know how he finds out, whether she told him or whether a relative, an intermediate said, or whether she just dropped a little note. But she says, I'm with child. Now, you can't believe, I'm sure you can, the shock. I mean, this is a godly young lady. He would have put his house, if he was a gambling man, on this girl. I mean, he loved this girl. He could not believe it. He couldn't believe it. Now, she said, this thing that's in me, she's now showing, she's 3 months. this is from the Holy Spirit now, give me a break, come on. I mean, it's rocked him. Do you know in Hillingdon how babies happen? You know that, don't you? You men know that. If not, I'll see you later, but anyway. But seriously, I mean, you know, he's no fool. I mean, give the guy a break. You know, the children happen the same way in Israel as they do in Hillingdon. And he's thinking, well, he just can't believe it. He's committed to her. But it says, now Joseph was a righteous man, a godly man. That means he was a devout Jew. He lived according to Torah. He was a good man. He was not a, you know, layabout or a ne'er-do-well. He was a good man. But that creates the problem. Because he loved the word of God. Well, he, as far as he knew, in the light he had. And he knew very clearly what this implied. She was pregnant. Now, not only that, he would be blamed. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the people in the village, who's she engaged to? She's pregnant. Two and two together? Four. But that wasn't the point. He knew he wasn't involved in that sense. And he also knew in Deuteronomy, the word of God, that a woman who gets pregnant out of marriage, in adultery or fornication, should be taken out of the village and stoned. He knew that. He's torn, he's in a dilemma. He loves the word of God, and yet he loves this girl. What's he do? Now, actually, in all fairness, probably the historians tell us quite rightly they probably wouldn't have stoned her. She would have just been cast out. They weren't doing it at that time, but it could have happened. The gravity is to be underlined. And that's the problem. And he has a real problem. He has a dilemma. He's rocked. There's no way he can protect his reputation apart from just taking to another town and moving off. But he's not going to do that in one sense. He doesn't want to do that. Why should he? Anyway, let's go back to the backstory. The backstory is really what it's all about. Come with me, the backstory. Now, the backstory is to do with God. God created man. And we know that man, right at the beginning, chose to do his own thing. He chose to say, I don't want to live with God. I don't need God. I can cope without God. You know? And, well, the Bible says this. Isaiah says it, Paul says it, there's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, there's no one who seeks God. All have turned away, and all they've all together come worthless. There's no one who does God, not even one. By God's standard, each person, we have all failed by a million miles. We're under God's judgment. But the wonderful thing is this, God has a plan. He has a plan. Now, you may not believe this, but I'll try and convince you. He will become part of this universe he made. He who never had a beginning will, in some one sense, be part of a beginning. He'll be part of a beginning. He who never became anything will become a man. The great artist will become a piece of a dab of paint on the great canvas. The great potter will become a bit of mud on the potter's wheel. He will become a man. And it's amazing. He'll become like one of us. It's amazing. He has a plan. And he's planned this from the beginning of time. It wasn't just an afterthought. Not an Egypt, well, I better do something. No, the cross was planned before the fall of man. But he has this plan. You know, you remember right at the beginning when man rejected God and did their own thing, our first parents. And God knows that behind it is Satan. But he says to Satan, I will put enmity between you. You know? The Satan and the woman. Between your seed and her seed, right? He will crush your head, but you will bruise his heel. Now, the interesting thing, notice that, it's with her seed. Not man's seed, not the man's seed, but a woman's seed, the woman's seed. That's where it's the seed of woman, right? And it'll happen, and we haven't time, our time is going, to unpack all this, but it'll come through a virgin. This is how the plan's going to work out. 700 years before, when Israel's in a real state and King Ahaz is in a real mess, he gives him a sign. He says a virgin, a young woman, will conceive and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. Now, it's just the child is called Emmanuel. This is a sign that the house of David, the line of David, will not be destroyed. It's about to be destroyed. This child will be a sign. He will call Emmanuel. Isn't this child, the first child in Isaiah's time, he's just an ordinary child. But he's a sign. But it's a sign of this, the bigger thing that's going to happen. But let's go back. Joseph's in a real state. I mean, the incredible dilemma. What do I do? Well, God's night messenger is the angel in the dream. He has a dream. And it's amazing, really. God in his grace said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take the Mary home with you as your wife, because that which is conceived of you is the Holy Spirit. Joseph, this conception is supernatural. It's miraculous. Some of you think, well, I don't understand it. Don't try and understand it. You're called to believe it. Well, you see, the scientists say, and some of you are scientists, no doubt, well, and it's happening. Well, it's obviously what's happened. It's a case of parthenogenesis, which you get, for some reason, an egg in the ovary of the woman fertilizes itself. And you get a clone. It's documented six or more times. And a woman gives birth to a child, and there's no intercourse with man. But that's what's happened. Now, you biologists will tell me, what is the sex of that child? George, female, my scientific friend George. That's true, because every female in this room, in every cell, has XX chromosomes. Don't think too hard, I'm telling you. Every man in this room has XY chromosomes. Hear this in our culture. Every cell in your body determines the gender, not you decide the gender. Right? Bear that in mind. The great thing is this. God does something. God, who made 200 billion galaxies, is quite capable of producing an X, a Y chromosome to produce a boy child, because it must be XY to be a boy, you know, because the woman doesn't have the Y chromosome. Forget all that. Come back to where we are, right? But God created a male sperm with all the DNA of the Son of God. And Mary produces the DNA, as it were, of the Son of Man in one sense. And so you've got that perfect union. Fully God, fully man. This is not downsizing. It's not contracting to a span. He's not getting smaller in one sense. He's still fully God as well, fully man. And he goes on, he says... It's amazing. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. A virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Wow. Now that's his title, right? That's who he is. God with us, right? You see, and he's using it's the God of the Old Testament we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the God of the Old Testament. Now, that's really offensive to say God becomes a man. They couldn't cope with that. When Jesus later alluded to that, they tried to stone him. And then finally, they crucified him. Why? Because he made himself to be as God. The Jews hate this. Because they're monotheists. We'll come back to that in a minute. My friends, if Jesus is not God, we know nothing about God ultimately. We know a lot about God. But he is very God of very God. If you disobey Jesus, you disobey God. If you honor Jesus, you honor God. That's what it's about. But also, if Jesus is not God, the cross is an act of despicable cruelty. You see? Because the whole of the New Testament is saying that Jesus on the cross, in one sense, he dies as a sacrifice for sin. The Lord lays on him the iniquity of us all. Now, if he's only a man, well. But you see, let's go on. Because the angel says to both Mary and to Joseph, you will call his name. You will give him the name. You will bear a son. You will give him the name Jesus. Now, his title is Emmanuel, but he's given the name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sin. Right? That's what it's about. Joseph and Mary, you're not going to determine the name. God says, I will tell you what the name will be. He tells both parents, right? And his name is Jesus, which is the Yeshua, the Old Testament, Joshua, the one who will save his people, right? That's what it's about. Why? Why does Jesus have to be a savior? It's what it means. Jesus means God to the rescue. Because we are in a terrible mess. We're under the judgment of God. Let me just digress. Over 50 years ago, my wife gave birth to a most beautiful little girl. Blonde haired, blue eyes, lovely little girl. But you know this, what? It wasn't very long that she had a defiant streak. She wanted her own way. And she had the ability to say no. Now, obviously, it was from her mother's side. So we had another one, a lovely little boy. He had blonde hair, brown eyes. He had brown eyes. He was the same. He said no. And he was rebellious. He was a sweet kid, but, you know, he wanted his own way. He said no. And you know what? This rebellion didn't go away when we got rid of the nappies. It kept going on. Now, the point is, we like that we say no to God. He says, obey my word. No. Forgive your enemy. You don't know what he's done. No. Love your neighbor. No. Stop gossiping. No. I'll do my own thing. I will live my life as I want to live my life. And I put my finger to my nose and tell God, I will do my own. If we say it very politely, we're nice people. But we're a mess. We're in a mess. And we're in the judgment of God. Let me just try and illustrate this. Every morning I go out, not very early, because when it gets light. I was out this morning, and I have different routes. One route this morning, this year, I'm going down this path, and I see in the hedge, in the fence, a deer, a young deer caught upside down, trapped in this wire. It was pig wire. It wasn't barbed wire. But it was cutting into it. It was cutting through its legs, its tendons. It was upside down. And the more it struggled, the harder, the tighter it got. I couldn't loose it. I needed fire. I need wire clippers or something. There's no way I could save this. And then down the lawn, there's these two ladies with these two dogs. I went down. For goodness sake, keep those dogs away. They'll hound this creature. It'll be finished. There's no way. We needed help. So one of the ladies sent off, I don't know, for some animal rescue thing. But that's how we are. There's no way we can get right with God, a holy, righteous God, unless someone comes and sets us free. You know, because you see, we say no to God. And we're gonna stand before God. And if you want to get to heaven, well, there are no no's in heaven, I'll tell you that. No no's. And so we have to be rescued, right? And we can only escape the judgment of God by someone else taking our punishment, our responsibility. And the amazing thing, this was changed my life. God himself said he would come. And not only said he did come. God himself come, and he is called Emmanuel. It's not just a name. I have friends who would call him, that's just a name. No, this is Emmanuel. This is God on earth. And he comes. He didn't just pick some generic Jew and say, well, he can die some worthy prophet. No, no, no. I mean, you see how hard it would be. How unjust. And it wouldn't be possible. Because one man couldn't just die for the sin of the world. But if that person is God, the very creator of the world, his death will have infinite value. And he comes and dies. 'Tis mystery all. The immortal dies, we sing. God chose to become a man. He chose to lay down his life on the cross. He has given his life for you. He's bearing your judgment. The wrath of God that you should bear in hell for all eternity is upon him. That's where he comes. He's Emmanuel. That's the gospel. And he will save his people from their sin. Mary, Joseph, that's why you call him Jesus. But not only that, if he is not God, we can't be sure. Jesus is not God, we can't be sure it'll all end well in the end. But because there might be somebody more powerful, somebody more stronger, and Jesus will not be able to fulfill all his promises. But actually, notice what he says to Mary, what the angel says to Mary in Luke. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, and his kingdom will never end. Mary, that which is going to be born, is a king. He is not only king, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. We sing the Hallelujah chorus, you know, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever. And the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. That's it. And he's going to come. You see, if Jesus is not God, someone else could come and overrule him or override him. Some force in heaven and hell could come, and none of this could be fulfilled. But he is Emmanuel. That's the thing. God with us. You see? That's it. Now, well, you see, if Jesus is not God, we don't want any of this stuff. I'm sorry, Paul, you built this thing. It's a waste of time. If Jesus is not God, let's go home and have lunch. Seriously. We're fools. We're out of date. But if he is God, nothing else matters. And he comes. But we say, well, do we want a king? Do we want a king? I tell you what we do want. Don't laugh. We want democracy. That's it. We want to vote. We want freedom of speech and freedom of publication. If we have a referendum or an election, democracy, then our problems will cease. Do I see a hand? But as Churchill was right, democracy is the worst kind of government, except for the rest. He's right. But that's it. Because we know we don't want an earthly king like that. We don't want to be like Saudi Arabia with, you know, an absolute monarch. I mean, C.S. Lewis says, you know, he says, no man can be trusted with unchecked power over his fellows. We don't want such a king, such a dictator. We don't want it. No, no, I'm telling you something better than democracy. Please vote whoever you want for. But actually, it won't solve our problems because we don't. Democracy is not the answer for Britain. The answer for Britain is theocracy, ruled by the king. That's what it's about. Now, I'm a great royalist. I'll pray for our monarch. I'm not against the constitutional monarch, but that's not. I'm talking about the king, right? No. But this king is Emmanuel, God with us. I mean, to have the Son of God as the king is to be protected by infinite power who comes at Christmas. And God breaks into our universe and as a holy, divine, saving King forever, Emmanuel. And God with us. Now, if you're a Hindu, that's a problem to the Jews, you see. But if you're a Hindu, it's no problem, is it? You know, you can have an avatar from Krishna or Vishnu, or you can have, you know, comes, I don't know, embodies himself in an avatar. Or else if you're a Greek and a Roman, they're polytheists, they have many gods, and they can come down, and occasionally they did, and, you know, they dress up as a human. But the Jews, no, they were monotheists. One God. Every day they say, there is one God. That's it, you see. But we haven't time to go into it. The disciples knew and heard him say many times and gave allusions to that he was God. He was God. They lived with him for 3 years. And they knew, at the end they came, you are the Christ, the Son of God. If you're Elvis Presley, some of his followers thought he was a god. And you go to Graceland and every year they put flowers on his tomb. But I'll tell you what, none of those live with him. But these men, the last people on the earth to believe that God could come on earth, the Jews, the last people, they believed it and they were prepared to die for it. In fact, many did die. Because they believed it, right? And because he's Emmanuel, God with us. You see, the problem is this. Our situation is so serious. The fate of men and women outside God is so serious that God himself was prepared to come and do the ultimate. To come and be a man and die in your place. Because we're not playing games. I was brought up in a Sunday school. I'm all for that. But it's huge, my friends. It's your eternal destiny. It's heaven or hell. It's judgment or blessing, isn't it? That's what it's about. It's life or death. And God's love is so great that he sent his only beloved son, his only begotten son. Wow. You see? And he says, God with us. God with us. That's amazing. I mean, because in the Old Testament, you know, when he came, it was like electricity, wasn't it? Like a lightning. You know, when he comes to Abraham like a blazing torch. He comes to Moses in a blazing bush. He comes to Isaiah, and Isaiah falls down. He said, I'm done. I'm ruined. I'm coming apart. Ezekiel's down every time. He's on his face all the time. How can we cope with this powerful electricity? Well, he comes. If I use the analogy, it's not very good. He comes like an electric light bulb, as it were, in a way that we can take. He says, I'm the light of the world. Who follows me will not walk in darkness. You won't spend this life in darkness, but you will have the light of life. That's how he comes, doesn't he? God with us. Who is he with? The shepherds. No references. You know? Nothing to recommend them. These astrologers from the... With us. Who's us? He binds himself to us. Such is his love. His people. Ordinary, simple, selfish people like you and me. With us. People... And he comes for the church. People say... I love Christ, but I despise the church. Well, let me tell you, my friends, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, right? That's what it's about. He's with us. It's with us. It's not just me and my little spirituality. It's with us, the church, right? And if God be for us, we're going to leave now. I've nearly finished. Don't lose heart, you know. If God be for us, who can be against us? And just think, all you ladies, I feel so hard for the ladies in December. It's all work, isn't it? Plus, you know. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Right? And he is the same. He is the same. He's still Emmanuel. I was in a pet shop. You see, we were shopping, and we went in this, I don't know, it was really a tropical fish. I loved tropical fish. I used to have tropical fish. But the sad thing about tropical fish, if you have a community, the blighters are always killing each other. They're always attacking each other. But I thought, if I could be a fish, just for a while, I could go in and stop them fighting. So I become a fish. I go in this tank, and I in this lovely tank, and I stop them fighting. Wonderful. But I tell you what, I don't want to be a fish forever. I want to be out quick. Jesus didn't leave his human form. There is a man in heaven this morning. He is seated at the right hand of the Majesty. He has been raised to glory. There is a man, fully God, fully man. He will represent in his people, his bride, his church. That's how he is. He didn't discard it. Oof, thank goodness that's all over. No. He ever lives to pray for you, my friends. But quickly, as I finish, let's go back to Joseph. Joseph, what's he going to do? Well, the first thing he says, don't fear. I mean, he has to face the greatest need of his life. The greatest need of his life is this little developing baby in his fiance, if you like, in her uterus, in her womb. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? He's a righteous man. You see? You see, he has to make this. What's he going to do with Jesus Christ? And we all have to face this situation. It's a very profound mystery. We have to welcome Jesus. It doesn't matter what the world will say. What is the right thing to do? If this person is God, what is the right thing to do? Shall we welcome him? Well, what will the world say? What will the world say? Well, you go. You know, Joseph Zizi is vivid. Right? You got a pregnant lad. You know, and that's going to dog him all his life. If you go through the gospel, Jesus is always called an illegitimate one. Oh, it never leaves the rumors of Nazareth. And you see, the hard thing is this. For people like you and me, who are church people, the righteous ones. That's the hard thing, you know. That's the hard thing, the righteous ones. We were brought up in the church. We were all right. No, but actually, Joseph still has to make the big decision. I was brought up in a church and none of us were saved, I don't think, any of us. We didn't know the gospel. But you still, no, that's not true. There were Christians there. But actually, you know, I've got a chapel. I sing the hymns. I love the hymns. I say the prayers. I'm a good person. I pay my. But, you know, we're the worst because we think we're good. We don't need it. Because Joseph was a righteous man, but he still has to decide, and it's very painful. In one sense, it's a big decision he has to make. It's going to be total disruption. P.T. Forsyth said, in making disciples, Christ ruined many careers. That's true. It will turn you upside down. I know that. Your lifestyle will change. It will bring disruption. In a few days' time, Joseph is fleeing down the road as fast as he can to Egypt. Oh no, to bring Jesus into your life is not going to be wonderful and wonderful forever. I mean, it is in one sense. But he sees this conception is the fulfillment, not just of the sin of another man, but God. And this is the point. This Jesus is going to change everything in Joseph's life. And if Jesus comes in your life, it's truth. It will change. He will change everything in your life. You can be a righteous person and go to church every day of your life and go to hell at the end. Quite easily. Well, I'm a righteous person. Yeah. No. It's very frightening. I will do whatever you want. You realize I must be about my son's business. That's what it's about. And he goes. Well, what will the people think at work? What will my neighbors think? And what will the people think if I become a follower of Jesus and a passionate follower of the living God? What about my income? It might change your life totally. Who cares? The only thing that matters in life is truth. You see, you can't see Jesus as a very interesting theological person. He's either fooling us, he's a con man, a liar, or he's mad himself, or else he is what he says he is. He's the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. You can't have a lukewarm response. Well, you can, but you'll miss it. The ones that have a lukewarm response, they're the righteous people, inverted commas. No. Right? Joseph was never the same again. And his identity has totally changed. It's a wonderful thing, Joseph. It's wonderful that the Lord says, I'm going to choose a good man to be the stepfather of my son. It's a wonderful. But Joseph's identity is changed because it's linked with Jesus. When I became a Christian, when you became a Christian, your identity has changed, right? You're a new person. You're linked with Christ. We sung it. We're bound to Christ. We're in his family. We're sons and daughters of God. Our identity has changed. It doesn't matter whether we're clever or rich or anything. Our identity is determined by this man, Jesus Christ. And Joseph says, that's the way I'm going to go. Because the greatest fact this world has ever known, God comes. He deigns in flesh to appear. Wildest extremes to join. To bring our vileness near, to make us all divine. We at last, our God shall know, because our God is manifest below. Veiled in flesh. Isn't it? The Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. That's it. No wonder the angels sang. They didn't need whipping up that day. They just couldn't believe it. God would become like some one of these sinful people. It's amazing. So Joseph goes down the road to Egypt. But he's a new man because he said, Christ is going to determine my life. He'll be the center of my life. And it's the only way to live and the only way to die. Amen? Make a wise decision, my friend. It's the only thing that matters. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the amazing, amazing, amazing grace. Thank you for your great love for us, that you so loved the world, that you gave your best, your only begotten Son, that whoever puts their trust in him would not perish, but everlasting life. Thank you that by your grace, you've opened our eyes. I pray that you'll open the eyes of all of us today, that we might rejoice in this season, amazing season, that Emmanuel, God is with us. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Amen.